It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Traditions are often the bedrock of healthy families. This morning, we'll learn about a family tradition in Lincoln County.
The middle room is actually the room where our lumber comes in. And so we go through anywhere around 10 to 20,000 board feet a year.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Farmers in two dozen counties in West Virginia are eligible to apply for emergency loans from flooding caused by hurricanes Florence and Michael last year. Glynis Board reports.
The State Department of Agriculture says in a news release, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved a disaster designation for damage that occurred between April and December of 2018. The designation allows farmers in primary designated counties and surrounding areas to be considered for emergency loans from the Farm Service Agency. State Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leonhardt says farmers who were affected by flooding due to the hurricanes can contact their local Farm Service Agency office for assistance. Primary counties under the designation are Braxton, Calhoun, Clay, Jackson, Mason, Nicholas, Pleasance, Ritchie, Roan, Webster, Wirt, and Wood counties. Eligible surrounding counties include Cabell, Doddridge, Fayette, Gilmer, Greenbrier, Kanawha, Lewis, Pocahontas, Putnam, Randolph, Tyler, and Upshur counties. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board.
Federal prosecutors are investigating the use of federal disaster relief funds given to West Virginia after a deadly flood in 2016. Brittany Patterson has more.
U.S. Attorney Mike Stewart announced the investigation in a news release Wednesday, saying, quote, "Diversion, fraud, corruption, or delay cannot and will not be tolerated." Stewart's announcement did not specify who the investigation is targeting. The federal probe follows a state audit into the misuse of federal flood money in the city of Richwood that resulted in criminal charges against its mayor, former mayor, police chief, and former clerk. State Auditor John B. McCuskey found that the city didn't keep track of its federal money, diverted funds away from their intended use, and shelled out almost $250,000 for consultants to help the city with the grant. He said that only about $400,000 of the more than $3 million the city received went toward flood recovery, with the rest unaccounted for. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
Weeks ahead of a special session on education betterment, the top-ranking member of a House of Delegates committee is stepping down from their post over a personal relationship with a legislative staff member. Dave Mistich reports.
House Education Chair Danny Hamrick submitted a letter of resignation Tuesday to Speaker Roger Hanshaw. The letter indicates that Hamrick will continue serving in the legislature. In an emailed statement, Hamrick says he had a relationship with a legislative staff member. Stating that the relationship has been viewed as disrespectful, Hamrick says he has voluntarily stepped away as chair at Hanshaw's request. The Harrison County Republican was first elected to the House in 2012 and took over as chair of the Education Committee at the beginning of the 2019 session. House of Delegates spokesman Jared Hunt said Hanshaw will appoint a new chair in the coming days. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:47. Areas of dense fog in the eastern panhandle this morning. Some scattered rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 70s and 80s. Chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. And tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms possible with highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Grantmakers of Western Pennsylvania, presenting Remake Learning Days, a 10-day festival of hands-on learning for youth and families, featuring more than 25 events across West Virginia, May 9th through the 19th. Information at remakelearningdays.org. U.S. senators from the Ohio Valley have reintroduced a bill that would use money from the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund for local reclamation projects. Becca Schimmel has details.
It's called the Reclaim Act and is being sponsored by Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. The measure would use $1 billion from the unappropriated balance in the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund for reclamation projects. Now, according to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, the AML Fund has about $2.3 billion in unappropriated funds. The AML Fund is used to reclaim or revitalize land that has been used for mining. It's funded by a fee assessed on each ton of coal produced. The Reclaim Act of 2019 would focus on economic development in communities affected by the downturn in the coal industry. It will also require states to carry out projects that will create favorable conditions for economic development. The work has to be done in areas that have been adversely affected by a reduction in coal mining-related activities or in communities that have traditionally relied on coal mining for a substantial portion of their economy. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
Thinking back on a tradition that's been carried on in your family probably isn't too hard. The Thanksgiving turkey, or celebrating Christmas morning, or even just watching cartoons with your siblings on Saturday morning. For one family in Lincoln County, West Virginia, the tradition is building furniture. Our Folk Life reporter, Caitlin Tan, visited the shop and tells us this story.
Jim Probst's retirement workshop is at the end of a muddy road down a small holler in Lincoln County. Soft West African music plays in the background. It smells of fresh ash wood. It's cozy with a wood-heated stove. And at the back of the room, there's a smooth-finished spiral wooden staircase that leads to a loft. The steps are patterned with a dark walnut wood, all of which Jim built. But as he gets older, he has mostly passed the work down to his son-in-law, Eddie Austin. Since Jim is retired, he still maintains a shop for work on the occasional piece, but mostly just for fun.
There's a woodworking tradition that seems to have gotten started in Lincoln County, and who knows, he's got two kids, and his son says he's going to be a woodworker farmer, so...
Although Jim loves woodworking, the work isn't easy. He puts hours upon hours of labor into each piece of furniture, and it shows. The pieces are exquisite, smooth finished curves, often in a deep cherry wood. But that handcrafting makes the pieces expensive, money that not a lot of people have.
That chair you're sitting in retails for $800.
I'm very honored to be sitting in. Jim moved to West Virginia from Indiana with his wife during the Back to the Landers movement in the 70s, when many young artsy people moved and bought land here. Jim loves West Virginia. The nature, solitude, and low crime rates, he considers the state his home and says he wouldn't live anywhere else. As a child, he'd learned basic woodworking skills from his father, but the craft is something he taught himself.
I was accustomed to, like, if you wanted something, you could build it yourself.
During his 40-year career, Jim became a nationally recognized furniture builder. He's been featured in magazines and two books. His sleek, minimalist style caught the eye of wealthy buyers in several high-end furniture festivals. These things helped put him on the map.
We were in shops in Seattle, and we were in one in Colorado. We were in shop in Chicago. We were in shops in New York, Atlanta. We were out on Martha's Vineyard.
But now, most of the work is done by Eddie Austin.
It started with a girl.
That's Eddie. He's referring to Jim's daughter, Emma.
I was 17, and I had a job as a full-time dishwasher at a local restaurant. And they said, we're closing the restaurant. Here's your last paycheck. We wish you the best. And so I had just started dating Emma, and she came home and told her dad. And he was like, well, why don't you get him to just come into the wood shop?
Eddie started by sweeping floors. But over time, he became a top builder for Jim and eventually married his daughter. After almost 20 years of working together, Eddie bought the shop from Jim. He now runs his own business, EA Woodworks, out of the original woodworking space. Much like Jim, Eddie loves West Virginia. He was raised in Lincoln County, and as an adult, he's never doubted raising his family anywhere else. He says he can't identify with the phrase, the struggle to stay, a phrase that a lot of media uses to describe the state's declining population of young adults.
a lot of us West Virginians grew up without a running bathroom in our home. And we were able to overcome things like that. And so it really irked me that people would find a struggle to stay. It was never a struggle for me. It was just a time that we needed to dig deeper.
Eddie dug deeper by learning to woodwork. It's been the reason he could stay. And a lot of that is thanks to Jim. The connection between the two shows in their work. Both create pieces that are sturdy while still upscale and elegant. The differences, however, really shine through in their workspaces. Jim's retirement shop is pretty uniform. The focal points are the actual wood structure of the shop. Whereas Eddie's shop highlights his extrovert personality. There's a lot of color and his door is painted purple. Tyler Childers' music is often playing.
Looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked, ain't anybody told you that them things are bad for you?
Eddie has also changed what was once Jim's furniture showroom for clients. It's now a laid-back room with a table, chairs, snacks, and many colorful drawings from his kids. There are three other rooms in the shop.
The middle room is actually the room where our lumber comes in. And so we go through anywhere around 10 to 20,000 board feet a year.
That's roughly 50 average-sized trees per year. The next room is where a lot of time is spent. It's where Eddie learned a lot of his woodworking from Jim. Wood pieces are cut, sanded, and glued together here. A lot of the large machinery is in here, like Eddie's dovetail machine. The 1920s model dovetail looks to be almost 1,000 pounds. It makes joints to connect sides of a drawer, and they kind of look like birds, hence the name dovetail. The third room is the finishing room, where pieces are painted with a finish and left to dry. A dark 7-foot-long oak dining table sits in the middle. A lot of Eddie's clients are within a tri-state region, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. His pieces are no less expensive than Jim's.
It doesn't necessarily matter how much money they make a year or who can afford it as much as who can appreciate it.
Although ultimately a lot of people don't have the money for an $800 chair, Eddie does have an order list for 6 months out, much like Jim did.
You know, you never want to look at what you're making on the hour because it's going to be horrible. You have to love doing this. You just have to love it. And you need to marry well.
Marry well as in have someone in your family that has a reliable job, one that doesn't depend on buyers. But Eddie maintains that the quality and lifetime warranty of his furniture is what keeps customers coming back. Jim also says Eddie is enhancing the business aspect of the shop while still maintaining the history of the craft.
I never really have enjoyed the business part of being in business. I like the creative part. I truly think Eddie's better at the business end of being in business than I ever was.
And much like it was for Jim, it's important to Eddie to pass down the craft. Eddie now teaches woodworking classes at the Coalfield Development School, a work training program based in Wayne County. One of his students has even gone on to work in the industry. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Lincoln County.
See photos of Jim's and Eddie's work on our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.